Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 815. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Jeremy Mace. Why the fuck are we doing an introduction here, Jeremy?
Because the banter before, like, you said you're tired from work. I'm kind of tired from it as well. So we're just kind of talking, like, yeah, not a whole lot going on. So,
yeah, except for one small slash large piece of information that that hit the stunt granny desk not that long ago.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, the Vince McMahon stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, hey, there are other things to talk about.
Yes. Listen, as much as people don't like it, wrestling comes down to WWE. I know that's going to be a really unpopular opinion, but yeah, it does. And that's why there's one worldwide company, and then there's others, you know, that will go overseas or that are predominantly overseas that will come here. But there's only one worldwide one, and that's this one, and it always takes precedent. That's why it doesn't help to try and compete with them. You're going to lose. So.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. It did not seem like the return of one Vincent Kennedy McMahon was a problem for the company. I believe the article that I read said that the stocks jumped by 10%.
I saw 12.
Oh, so okay.
It's even better. Like, I just right, so the whole story, for those who haven't seen, he said he's coming back. He's putting himself back in as CEO and bringing along the two that left with him. Or they fired or whatever. I don't have it in front of me. Damn it.
Oh, yeah. I do not have the article pulled up.
Barrows and the other one's a woman.
Yeah.
Oh, well, whatever. So my favorite part is he's saying that he's coming back to be, what, a prime player or probably the face of the negotiator for television rights?
That is correct.
And then, like, articles are saying that, well, no, he's coming back to sell it, which I guess is technically correct.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
like, yeah, he's selling the product. He's not selling it. You know? Like, that's what that whole thing was. So it's like a disingenuous title.
Well, I mean, it has been out there, the possibility of them actually selling.
Well, sure, but isn't every successful business kind of out for sale? You know, I guess some big ones, some giants, no. But as we saw with, like, Disney buying some of Fox, it's not unheard of, that's for sure.
No.
But, yeah, it's like, television rights are 2024? Is that right?
I think so.
Something like that. So, you know, it's about time to start negotiating, and with the ratings having gone back up, and SmackDown doing a gigantic number with John Cena there, you know.
Yes.
It's the time, and it's also getting into WrestleMania season. We're in January, so we're technically in there.
Yeah. It starts on the road to the Royal Rumble. I know they don't usually call that a road or start making these references yet, but that's okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, it's flabbergasting that this is happening, but then it's really not. Like, I guess I misunderstood when he left that he could just put himself back in. I didn't know that. I guess as the majority shareholder, he can do whatever he wants.
I feel like the CNBC article that I looked at sounded like there was some hesitation with this happening, but evidently that seems to be the case. Like, if you can only raise objections and you can't actually do anything about it, that means he got his way.
Okay. Is it even, I know what you mean.
Legally, like, I would think that there would be some type of repercussions if they're really hell-bent on keeping him out.
But it's like, yeah, I mean, it's just like bewildering, I guess, to try and figure this out. They went through, they did all of these, they did an independent investigation, supposedly, and discovering the millions of dollars he's paid out for hush money, basically. And it's like, yep, oh, okay, oh, your investigation's over? I got some bad advice. I'm coming back, and I'm only going to be here for the television negotiations. Which they said, one thing I read, they said, yeah, come back to do negotiations with it. That'd be great. I'm saying that'd be great, but they're like, come back for it. And he's like, nah, I'm good. I'm going to be CEO and do that and bring my friends with me. Like, what? It's really not that surprising considering the person.
Oh, in no way. Like, it was always what, like, we're barely to the point where I'm just sitting there going, oh, I'm kind of, like, I had kind of started to forget about him, but it's hard to forget about Vince McMahon. You know, he always seems like he's looming. We've talked about, and honestly, he's talked about how, you know, he pretty much wants to do it until he dies.
Yes.
You know, like, I just have a hard time believing that unless, and we kind of talked about it when the whole scandal took place, honestly. Like, well, I guess there is more legal issue with it since I believe that it had been uncovered that he did, in fact, use corporate money to pay these sums.
Yeah, and you notice how that just kind of went away? Like, as soon as he was gone, everyone's like, okay. Like, wasn't there supposed to be, like, a big HBO Real Sports thing about Vince McMahon?
Well, and I thought that there was still going to be some auditing that needed to be done
Right.
to
But anyway.
correct things. And it's just like, yeah, it really hasn't gone anywhere since Vince went away.
No, it like once he went away, Vice tried making a Vince McMahon show, like a documentary, but it was all like old stuff they'd already done. So I was like, okay, that didn't help anything. And then like Wall Street Journal was supposed to have more and more and more and more. They went quiet. Like HBO never followed through with their stuff. It was like, all right, we're on the attack. Oh, he's gone. All right, never mind. We got it. No, there's still more story there. Oh, we uncovered another $5 million. Oh, another $5 million. Oh, $3 million. And now we don't know if that was it or not.
Yeah, I honestly can't remember what the last sum was that I saw as far as monies paid out. The number was getting pretty big, though. I
Yeah,
feel like it
and
was
all.
at least double-digit millions.
I thought it was 20 at least. And then there was also the woman that was accusing him of raping her or sexually assaulting her way back in the 80s.
Oh.
That came out, that was in a news cycle for a couple hours, and that's gone. And now it's quiet. Here he comes rumbling in, going, I should have never left in the first place. Which, by the way, he's not wrong. All he had to do was just keep working. All of this stuff would have maybe, probably gone away. It would have lasted a little bit longer, but it would have gone away. And none of this stuff would have happened with him. Because that's just how the news cycles work. Everyone gets all up in arms until the next thing comes along.
Yeah, well, and then the one part that I think I even said back then, and is still at least something that is intact for now, I don't want Vince anywhere near the TV product.
So that's the other thing. He mentioned that he's not going to mess with any of the management or the processes. This, he's there to oversee things and do the television rights. And it's like, does anyone believe that? But also, I guess as executive officer, you can fire people? Or is that something you delegate down, which is why you've got your other two friends in there? I don't know how this corporate structure works, other than it's all corrupt as fuck. Like, in any company. But, so, like, if you're Triple H, Stephanie, Nick Khan, any of the people, like, you know, Triple H brought back, or put in charge, or Stephanie put in charge, any of that, as the CEO, can you directly influence and say, no, they have to go? I really don't know. I don't know how this works.
I guess you could. I don't, you know, when you're talking about creative differences, I think that's one thing. I think it would be hard to prove, like, well, A, wasn't Nick Khan hired by Vince McMahon anyway?
Yeah.
So I guess there's got to be some type of rapport there. I would hope that he's in the clear. And I can only imagine firing your son-in-law and your daughter. That would get pretty tricky.
Well, yes. But he's also the guy that sent his own kid home, too. And Shane.
Oh, yeah.
And not once, but twice. He sent him away for 7 years, basically. So, it's like, all right, well, it's one of those things. It's like the Jack in the Box thing. You wind the, or whatever.
Yeah.
Wind the wheel. You're like, oh, nothing's really going on. I guess nothing's going to go on. Boom. You're like, oh my God, this happened? Of course it happened. It took some time. Vince just popped his head back up. Like, imagine the ego involved in this. Like, he's a billionaire on paper or by his bank account, because that can just disintegrate at any time.
Oh, right.
It's the fun part of not having real money. So, you're 70 years old, whatever he is, and like you said, he said he was going to do this forever, or would do this forever. And just to be gone for all this time, and you didn't find anything else to enjoy? You know, like, you've been wrapped up in this thing since you were a kid, basically. And then you've got to the heights of power. You took this goofy carny stuff, which is what wrestling is, and you turned it into a global business. A legitimate global business. So when you finally get to step back and you go, there's nothing out here for me. I'm going back. Like, wait, what?
I guess I kind of understand that on a much lesser level, but I'm just going to say that there are certain people in my life that decide to keep on working after retirement. Multiple jobs sometimes. But, you know...
I know what you mean, but it's like...
yeah, you would... I don't know. It really seems like he doesn't really ever want to take a real... I guess 6 months was enough for him. Like, he's like, this is the longest break I've ever taken in my life. Like, that's probably more vacation than he had taken in his life prior to that.
Yeah. I mean,
so
even when he gets hurt, he was there. Remember when he tore his quads, he was there the next day working already. So,
yeah, I mean, this is the guy that we're dealing with here. Like, like you said, like, this, it really shouldn't be surprising. Like I said, I'm just praying to whatever higher power above that he doesn't take control of creative again. Just, that's honestly the only thing I care about. Like, I think I mentioned that when he was getting the initial charges. It's just like, yep, just stay out of creative. Like, we... just it does not need to happen. Like, I don't,
whatever it takes.
Yeah, whatever it takes.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It's like, and really, that's all we should care about. I any company that, if you don't work for them, do you really care how they're doing financially? And I understand that. I understand, like, that's kind of a loaded question because you don't want something you're invested, like, not invested in, but something like, I have AT&T for internet. Well, I want to make sure they're doing all right, I guess, so they keep upgrading their network, which is hilariously stupid because they don't anyways. But
yeah,
not to the level of technology we have, none of this stuff is up to snuff. Doesn't matter who it is. But that's about the extent of it. Like, I don't care what goes on at the WWE offices. As long as the product I'm watching on TV is good. And
yeah,
as you're saying, skim away from creative, because when he was there, it wasn't good. I'm not saying it's great now. It's not. But at least it's better.
Yeah, it's definitely better. It's more coherent. And I do think that and I mean that's another one where I think you and I were targeting like WrestleMania this coming year for a real cleaning of the slate creative week. Jesus Christ. Can't even say creatively correctly. Come on. But anyway, it's going to take some time to reboot this and, you know, bring, you know, we've talked about all kinds of various topics, but it's just like they needed more bodies back in on the roster. Like, they had gone from completely bloated to too thin. And, well, I'd like to say it was short, but that axing took like 3 years to get there on a weirdly consistent basis. So, you know,
3 years? I thought it was like over the course of like a year and a half. I honestly think it was way less than that.
Well, I think it was most of the pandemic period they kept on releasing people. So I guess that's why I was thinking that it was at least 2 years. Whereas just like, you know, a couple of people got announced here, a couple of people got announced like 3 months later, another couple of people got announced, you know, like, and then it was always weird where it's just like there were a bunch of names that get dropped and then there's like 6 months go by. You're like, oh, okay, they're done cutting people. And then they're like, oh, we're getting rid of Bray Wyatt. And it's just like, what? And like everyone freaks out again. Without looking it up, it was at least 2 years.
Okay, yeah. Because I know Strowman and Wyatt, right? Were they the same one, or were they like...
No. Apart? Yeah, they were apart.
All right. Because, I mean, some of them you're like, oh, okay. Or some of them else you're like, who? Like, oh, that person. Okay. But yeah. And it's funny, you're like, so... And this is the thing, didn't Nick Khan take a lot of heat for that?
It did feel like a lot of those cuts came around the time period that he was hired.
Yeah. And then Vince is gone. And he's working side by side with Stephanie. And then Triple H is creative. They bring all the people they fired back. And I'm like, are we sure he's actually, like, he was the proper fall guy? Because I know it always comes down to Vince, but it seemed like Vince was getting off scot-free with this.
I do kind of feel like Vince got lumped in with WWE corporate without really kind of getting too much guff about it. Maybe it's just because Vince has fired so many people over the years that everyone's numb to it.
True. But yeah, it was just one of those things I was thinking about, like, this... This actually brought, like, a lot of reflection and stuff. Like, just, like, his hubris, speaking of Vince McMahon, the ego involved. And basically, like, he can control, like, he can, I guess, be controlling state. He can approve or disapprove any of the TV rights.
Uh-oh.
And there was, like, the whisper or a quote, I guess, that he wasn't going to approve anything unless he was part of the negotiations. So here's this guy throwing a tantrum, basically. A 7-year-old billionaire, by the way. Which, I don't know how you get to be that age and you're still throwing tantrums. And yes, I'm talking about everybody like that does that.
Yeah, he would not be the first 7-year-old that I've known to throw a tantrum.
Yeah, if you're that old and you're like acting like a child in your 70s, like I kind of get it to an extent because no one says no to you. So you always get your way until someone does say no to you, and you're like, "Hey, no!" And, you know, hold your breath and stomp your feet until you get your way, or you just go, "I own all the shares. I'm doing what I want." But goddamn, yeah, if he takes over creative again, you got to figure a lot of these people right now that work in WWE, NXT included, they've got to be nervous about this. I mean, you're Karrion Kross. Oh boy, like really?
Well, and the new regime has not exactly done him any favors.
He's in a much better position than he was when Vince was there.
Yeah, but I still feel like I don't see him that much.
He was pushed so heavily with the Drew stuff, and now he's in kind of a subtle dickhead mode with Rey Mysterio.
Oh, I keep on forgetting he has the Rey stuff popping up.
Yes. So he's doing that subtle stuff of putting down, like, the legend or whatever. But that's also part of Triple H's booking philosophy. People cross over into different feuds.
Oh.
So you've got, like, Rey, and which we're going to talk about, the Dominic Mysterio stuff. Dominic is part of Judgment Day, who's feuding with the OC. But then Rey's pseudo feuding with his son, who's also looking over his shoulder at Karrion Kross, waiting to take him out. And in the meantime, didn't Rey and Gunther had a little
two-week thing? Yeah, they had a little short feud.
Yeah, so it's all these movie parts. Where, like, seemingly everybody, like, people get involved in other people's feuds all the time with Triple H's stuff. Because I think the most famous one was Nikki Cross of Sanity got involved with the Aleister Black and who knocked him out angle. Which is like, wait, what? Why? She had nothing to do with anything. They included her in it, and it turned out to be Johnny Gargano. And Johnny Gargano, like, was getting on her case, but Sanity, I think, was already off the main roster because they left her behind.
Oh.
I think that's what happened then. She was at the banger matches with Asuka.
Yeah, she did okay in NXT by herself. Sanity had some issues.
Yeah, like getting called up and then not being on TV at all?
Yeah.
I consider that a problem too. And now there's rumblings they're coming back.
That's one where I do think it's getting a little bit silly. Because I'm trying to think of who else just. Was there someone else that just came back? Or came back?
I'm sure there is.
Somewhat recently, where I'm like, do we really need that person on the roster? It seemed like they'd gotten too thin, and now I'm like, okay, I think you guys are at a good amount here. Like, you kind of mentioned it. You can almost, AJ Styles gets hurt, and you can do your regular TV without him and not have any problems with filling in gaps.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but the one thing that they're obviously running into with the roster depth is making people important. I mean, because Roman's gone through everybody in this, and he even says there ain't no one left. So we're still waiting on Cody, obviously. And I don't think they do the hideous thing of having Cody lose. Because then if that's the case, there really is nothing for Roman Reigns.
Roman's got to lose just to make himself interesting in some way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, Ric Flair was the top draw as a heel for, you know, Jim Crockett, Mid-South, or Mid-Atlantic, whatever. he would lose every once in a while and then gain it back. Because you got to keep the people thinking, oh, I got to pay attention to these. And also the problem that we talked about with Roman Reigns before is people are cheering him because he's a badass.
Yep.
It's a pretty simple formula.
Yeah, I mean, he's been winning for a ridiculously long amount of time at this juncture. And how can you not like a winner?
Yeah, there are people who don't. But it's like, okay, whatever. But yeah, if a guy keeps winning.
Hey,
this guy's actually not lying, you know? He is smashing everybody.
Yeah, I mean, there's only been a handful of times where people have really gotten involved in his matches and caused the victory. You know, for the most part, he's legit just clean gotten to pin people. And that really helps out a lot. Like, that makes you look like a badass. And I feel like that is a dead horse topic around these parts. Like,
sure.
It isn't rocket science, but sometimes for whatever reason, wrestling in general and the WWE specifically seem to make it more of an issue than it should be.
Like, how long was Bruno Sammartino champion? What, 5 years? Something like that? Can you imagine that? Be dead serious. Like, I know it's a totally different era, but just imagine. The champion doesn't lose for 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, Roman's reign, because how long...
You were trying to avoid that.
How long was CM Punk's reign?
It was just over a year.
Okay, so Roman's, like, blown him out of the water at this point, then.
Oh, yeah, Punk is, like, number four on the list or something.
Okay.
Hogan was champion, what, 3.5 years? Two and a half, something like that?
Yeah. Just adjusted by inflation or deflation, I suppose, since title reigns aren't typically that long anymore. 2+ years for anyone is just an eternity. And I guess the wild thing is we said Cody is a choice. They still, of all things, they've had a couple of matches, but they still haven't run a full-on Seth Roman feud.
No, they have not.
And that, like, I guess those are the only two that you could really run with. Like, if Cody loses, like, it's just like, you have Seth Rollins, and then there is no one else on that list. Like, unless you go with a repeat win, you know. Drew McIntyre doesn't get interference in a match the next go round and he gets to win the championship. Like, that's, you know, your circumstances are kind of limited.
What about Bobby Lashley? Has he ever had a match while Roman was champion? It's been so long, I don't remember.
I'm not completely sure on that.
But again, like, Lashley, like, I don't know. When you get into, like, booking decisions like this, or creative, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you want to have it be someone special or new? And I know I just got done asking if Lashley and Reigns had a match or not, but it also doesn't seem like a new match, even if they've done it once.
Huh.
Where Cody, Sami Zayn, for that matter. Which I know, I guess the story is not set to go this way, but Sami Zayn winning, that's not bad either. You know, maybe it's a master plan to get around the conspiracy after all. They dropped that. Or he became so much more popular, or whatever it was.
That would be hilarious if he tied it back into his conspiracy theories.
Yeah, everyone wants to cheer, and you'll see, I told you it was a plot of the man, or whatever. You know?
That would be a riot if that ended up happening. I really don't see Sami Zayn winning, but...
No, I don't either. but it's like, so they have, like, Kevin Owens. They're building Kevin Owens back up. Okay. I still don't think he'll ever beat him.
Oh.
You know? Just stuff like that. And
Yeah, he can have a more serious tone and a more serious role on the roster. But yeah, I don't really see him winning the championship from Reigns.
Well, they need to come up with a way to either split those titles up or just make it one so you don't remind everybody that he has two titles.
Yeah, and I feel like that's definitely been. Oh, yeah, I want to say that Chris posited the theory that we could have some way for Adam Pearce to strip Roman Reigns of just the Universal Champion. Which one did he hold first?
Universal.
Okay, of the WWE Championship. Which, yeah, like you can't have him lose to give up that championship. Like, he has one loss for this reign. You
Yeah.
know, two belts or not. Like, he had that first championship for quite a while before they decided to unify the championships.
Yeah, he had that over a year, didn't he? Something like that.
Yeah, if it wasn't over a year, he was approaching a year by the time they unified the belts.
Okay. He's had.
He's had
He
two
was
belts
champion.
for a while now.
What, WrestleMania last year, right? Was it WrestleMania?
I don't, honestly, I do not remember that
Yeah,
one.
it was. It was winner take all. Yes.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, so it's coming up on a year where he's been the old double champ, you know?
Yeah. And yeah, I don't think the either as big as the Royal Rumble is, I don't think that's the place that Roman Reigns drops the championship.
No.
You know, you can have a lot of shenanigans go on at the Royal Rumble, and you can have title changes, and I feel like those have happened, but you don't have this Roman Reigns one happen that way.
Yeah, that's true. And really, the Rumble, well, that's the last time he lost a singles match, I believe. Because he did lose to Seth Rollins.
Oh.
It was by disqualification, but he still did lose.
Yeah.
And then that's the last time. And Seth has been, bringing that up for better part of a year now.
Yeah,
So.
he definitely weaves that into various and sundry promos.
And Seth is also in a weird position where he's like a good guy, sorta, I guess. And Cody's coming back.
Yeah, I mean, everyone asked about how weird that was going to be when if that happened, because even with the Cody Rhodes stuff, it seemed like Seth was on a roll to being cheered.
It was a few weeks ago. It really did seem like, yeah, he's on the way to being a face, and then he starts acting like a heel again. It's like, wait, what? And even Lashley looked like he was going heel, and he starts acting like a face, and now Lashley's just missing.
Oh.
So.
Yeah. Gonna assume injury on that front, I suppose. Who knows, though?
The rumor is they're getting the Hurt Business back together,
Oh.
which I'm happy about, but because they should have never been broken up in the first place. But it's like they put them together, broke them up, put them together again, and broke up. So it's like, oh, all right, so.
Yeah, there's one too many breakups there. It's one thing, especially if the group wasn't, they haven't really been a consistent TV presence. You know, like, what's it? MVP has not flown that flag with just Omos under his guidance to even keep the name out there.
That's another one. He's kind of disappeared since Saudi Arabia, right?
Yeah, I feel like he's had a couple of appearances, but for the most part, nah, he's really been off to the side.
Yeah, which it's not a bad thing, I guess, because, you know,
I do
him
think,
and Strowman were good, though. I'm not going to say they weren't, but, you know, everyone hates Strowman for whatever reason. You know, I'm sorry. I know why people hate Strowman.
but
at the same time, you cannot like somebody and still acknowledge that they have, you know, they do their job well. And apparently he likes telling you. But, you know.
Right. Strowman definitely has a good part to play, and I think that they've handled him pretty well for the most part.
Yes.
It has been kind of interesting because I felt like it was going to happen at some point. Gunther is a big guy to be wrestling small guys.
Makes him look bigger. Yeah.
But holy smokes. Braun Strowman definitely is a ginormous human being.
Yes. And it's funny, he was a big dude before. You know, when he first appeared, you know, overweight, whatever. Tubby, sure. And then he slims down and looks bigger now. Like, the definition makes him look thicker somehow.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Yeah, I feel like he's lifting different or something. Like, his body shape does look a little bit different than it used to.
Yeah, I follow him on Instagram. He's always posting, like, what his diet is now. He's changed it a lot. So, I guess added more cardio in, too. Because he was, I guess, on his off time, well, off time, when he got let go, fired, however you want to call it.
Yeah.
He was gonna do like a bodybuilding or body shaping competition or something.
Uh huh.
So I guess that's why he thinned down that way.
Oh,
he just
okay.
Kind of liked it and stuck with it. And it still makes him look impressive. So that's, you know, most of the time giants don't have abs. Was that the famous John Cena thing with Big Show?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I don't remember that.
Okay, so there. I'm gonna mess the story up, but I guess they were watching a match or doing something, and Big Show's. I was telling them about Cena. He's like, you know, you don't see, like, who wants a giant with abs? And Cena just, I guess, his smart ass way is like, yeah, who wants to see that? And Show was like, wait a second. So, and I'm sure I messed it all up, but it was basically Cena getting on Big Show about being overweight. So, but.
Yeah, I would have to say that I do not think that Big Show's body type is probably ever going to allow that.
Don't forget how svelte he was when he first got on the scene.
He was svelte, but he had a svelte keg.
Yeah, I'll give you that. But yeah, it's funny to see him back then to what he is now. And I don't know if that has something to do with his, I just watched him in RJ City, whatever he has, like the disease he has, whatever. I don't know if that's got something to do with it, but, you know, he looks completely different from when he first started, and that's just because he's bald.
I was pretty shocked when I heard him. Was he on Rampage this past week?
No, not
wrestling. He was an announcer on Rampage, I think, this past week. And I'm just like, huh? Like, I kind of forgot that the Big Show worked here.
Yeah. He went over, had what, that match with QT Marshall, and that's it.
I do think that, isn't he supposed to be one of the announcers for Elevation and Dark?
Sure.
But it's just like, yeah, I'm sorry, pal. I'm not tuning in to those shows because you're announcing.
He had surgery on something, but then I remember Tony Khan even saying, you know, we got a giant that's almost 50. I mean, he's almost 50, you know, with all that wear on him.
No.
He's not getting Big Show from when he first started. So.
Yeah, I wasn't really expecting him or Mark Henry to wrestle, for God's sakes. I kind of wanted them not to wrestle, if anything. So,
yeah.
I'm
Okay.
kind of fine with that end of things not happening.
Oh, sure. But yeah, it's. And we kind of just got off the whole Vince McMahon thing, went into
Oh.
different stuff, but that's fine too, because what usually happens on here. But,
What else was there to say about Vince, though?
right. But it was just a creative aspect of it. Like, don't screw it up.
Yeah, and that's only gonna, like, if he announced it and he said that's what he's coming back for, you've just got to go, okay, I hope so, and just wait to see what happens. Yeah, I may, 'cause didn't you say the ratings are up at least for them?
Yeah, the ratings have been up and down. Like they hit like I think their all-time low. But I think it was against like some football games or something. Like it was bad. And it recovered.
Oh, okay.
So, I think part of the problem is like when we talked about when Vince left and Triple H took over, there's an immediate curiosity that everything was going to change. Well, enough of this. This person's name's changing back. This person's getting pushed, and this, and it's like, no, that was never going to happen. It just wasn't. Now,
Yeah.
like even this week, they did what was it, the New Year's Street Fight or whatever it was, Music City Street Fight.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are we still doing these dumbass angles, like these dumb things? Like even on SmackDown, they had the Christmas, the Miracle on 54th Street.
Street fight.
Yeah, like. Then, like,
Yeah.
New Day comes out as Nutcrackers, and I'm going, we're still doing this? Like, you can have a Miracle on Fit, whatever.
Yeah.
You can still have that. But cut out the dumb shit. Like, you can have, okay, I'm being dead serious. You can have boxes that are wrapped all over the place. And you can just throw boxes at people. And then if there's something in it, go, oh, they must have slipped that in there. Instead of going, oh, it's a chainsaw. Well, okay.
Or
Like,
hitting them
fine.
with an empty box and having to sell it.
I don't mind using an empty box as a distraction. Like, God damn it, quit throwing, but boom, you get punched in the face. That's fine, but yeah, you're right. Just
Yeah.
getting popped with a box, you fall to the ground. Just. Jesus Christ. Sorry.
It gets to be a little much when that kind of thing happens, but.
There's a new season of my 1,000-pound sisters show coming on.
Oh,
And the girl, like the not so fat one anymore, she's pregnant again. She holds up a picture of like the ultrasound. She goes, we're having another one. And it looks like one of those like sketch drawings of an alien. And I'm like, my whole thing with this is I know the producers are watching this going, we're gonna fuck with these people so much. That's all it is. So anyways,
feel like that's
but
all of
yeah,
reality TV.
they're true. But it's like, I thought we'd get less of this stuff, but the
Oh.
matches have been pretty good. I mean, that I'm sorry, that Street Fight Monday was fun. It was rough too. I mean, that was some brutal stuff.
Oh.
That did not look comfortable at the end for Elias at all.
Yeah, I talked to Chris about that. That piano spot looked just utterly painful.
Yeah, I mean, they had it tricked out as well. I think when he hit it, it was supposed to blow the legs out, not
Yeah.
he smacks down and then it falls. Like, and I'm glad I remember this. I've never read what a wrestler thinks of it, but what's worse, hitting the table and going through it, or going all the way, like hitting the table and going to the floor? Like, is it that first impact's the worst, or is it the second one? Because theoretically, your fall's being blocked or slowed down by the table. So you shouldn't be hitting the ground quite as hard.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, you should be breaking your fall, and usually the tables are gimmicked. I suppose I'd rather go through the table. Can't imagine that either way is terribly comfortable, though.
No, I can't imagine. I mean, neither one, no.
So, I mean,
just a regular flat back bump's gotta suck.
Yeah, I've done some dumb shit to my body in the day. I've really never had any drive to put my body through what wrestlers put their body through.
Yeah, I mean, I told you before when I was in high school, I loved the Berserker. That guy was so hilarious, John Nord.
Yes. And
remember, he would run in the ring and throw himself down. I mean, being stupid, I was working at McDonald's. I was 16, and we all had wrestling names. And I ran outside and threw myself on the ground like the Berserker. And somehow still knew to tuck my head. This is before I was, like, you know, really started to figure out stuff.
Yeah.
And I tucked my head just fine. I've never had the wind leave me like that. No. And that was on the ground, so there's absolutely no give. But I just went, like, oh my God. I'm so stupid. I didn't expect that to hurt. Like, and I'm sorry, it didn't hurt. But it just knocks the wind out of you. Then I had to go get up and go back and, like, wash dishes or make food. Like, they dared me to, and I was like, so stupid back then. I'm like, yeah, that sounds fun. And they're like, oh my God, we can't believe you did that. I'm like, I wish I wouldn't have.
Yeah. So. Yeah, there is a story at a much younger age that I pulled off in that department that I can discuss here, which was, I always saw the old coconut trick in the cartoons. And I remember one of the earlier times I went to the supermarket with my mother, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if these are really that hard. And I, like, my head's kind of hard, so I'm like, whatever. And I cracked myself pretty good with the coconut. I'm like, motherfucker.
Oh my God, what a dumbass. Hey, guess what's, like, oh my God, that sounds terrible.
I'm like, yeah, I guess these coconuts are as hard as they're advertised.
Oh. No. I'm trying to think, the worst I've ever been hit in the head with something, like, I've been hit in the head with a baseball, whatever, but now I had a helmet on, don't care. I think it was, like, getting hit with a shoe, like a steel-toed shoe or a bottle or whatever I got hit with. And even then, I was just like, the hell was that? Didn't even know it cut me. But I've never been knocked out that I know of. I've never slammed my head on anything. So I have no idea what that feels like outside of that one, like, bump I took outside McDonald's at the wee age of 16. So,
yeah, I've had one too many near maimings to go through the entire list, but... I think I've mentioned on the podcast before, the whole broken hockey stick over the back of my head is definitely up there as far. I did not do that to myself, but someone perpetrated that one on me. And honestly, I'm still, you were talking about, I'm like, why did I not have a concussion after that? Like,
you probably did, but no one knew about what it was.
No, I didn't exhibit any of the signs that I exhibited when I legitimately had a concussion years later, of course, of all things, playing softball. you know, a hockey stick over the head doesn't do the trick, but my dumbass tripping in the shallow outfield, backpedaling for a pop fly that I did, in fact, catch. Did the trick, though, to give me a concussion.
Yeah, that's never happened to me all the time. I played baseball,
so,
football, all that stuff.
Yeah, I guess I know, sort of. I don't remember it because there were large gaps of time that I missed, even with a very mild concussion. But I did not have any of those type symptoms. I did have a giant knot on the back of my head. That is 100% confirmed.
The old hematoma or whatever?
Yeah, it's funny what adrenaline does for you at a young age.
No, it's amazing what adrenaline does anyways. Wait, did I tell you I crashed my bike Saturday?
No.
So the gym was closed. So I was like, I'm too antsy getting ready for the game. I'm like, I gotta go do something. And I left. So I'm out riding. I didn't take my usual route. I just wanted to go through uptown. I hadn't been through the city in a while. Check it out. Got my donut. That was good. And then, of course, it starts raining. So I'm like under an overhang for like 30 minutes, just playing on my phone. I'm like, I can't stay down here this long. Like, I can't do this. So I just went to intervals, road stopped, road stopped. And then, of course, it lightens up. I get a mile from the bottom, which is the old technical, well, that's when it usually happens. Going over the railroad tracks that I've gone over hundreds of times. A train just happened to be come through. I slow roll down, and my goddamn tire kicks sideways when it hits the first track. And I'm like, whoa! I was like, I pull it out real quick, so I was able to save it, put it down, roll, it kicks and does the next one, and I was done for.
Oof.
And just it fled. I didn't go over the handlebars because I was going slow enough. I could try and brace. But I still like I slammed my arm on the ground. So I got a nice old knot there. It swelled up too, so I thought I broke my wrist, but I'm fine. And then jammed my ankle something fierce. So that's been swollen since Saturday. But it's just like those small things like that I got hurt the worst off of just falling off my bike.
Yeah, oh.
And then what at a very slow rate of speed.
And I guess to try and bring it back around, this is not being slammed on a giant piano that is A, gimmicked, but B,
Yeah.
didn't end up giving out. So.
Yeah, and that's how it goes. Of course, Elias didn't get up and pick the piano over his head and then have to talk himself down, going, don't throw it in the tracks, don't throw it in the tracks. That had to be a sight for the people driving by. Because I yelled, fuck, really loud. And then I grabbed the bike over my head like Leatherface with a chainsaw. And I was just gonna throw that thing as far as I could. I was so pissed. And I had to stand at the gas station, call her, say, hey, you need to come get me because I fucked the bike up. And as I'm standing there, I look, my leg is bleeding. So I'm like, oh, that's cool. This little Mexican guy comes up to me with no front teeth. He goes, are you okay? I'm like, what? He wasn't even being a smartass. He was genuinely concerned. He goes, I saw you fall. You okay? Yeah. Yeah. Like, I was just kind of shocked. He goes, if you need a ride, I'll throw it in the back of the truck. I'm like, no, I'm okay. Like, Wes coming, don't worry about it.
Oh man.
I was like, what a nice guy.
Yeah, that was a nice offer.
I'm not done. So,
Oh
I go into QT to get a drink. This is after 15 minutes. I had to wait, for the pickup. He's milling about in the QT. And I'm like, sir, you're not trying to kidnap me because I'll beat the bejesus out of you. Bleeding leg, hurt ankle or not, I'm going to kick you in the. I'm just trying to think of a Mexican city real fast. I'll kick you into Cancun, sir. No. I'm like, wait a second. Was this guy really being nice? Or was he just trying to set me up for something bad?
He was going to steal your kidney, and you were going to wake up in a bathtub of ice
Yes.
without one of them.
Well, I was leaning more towards sex trafficking, but,
Yeah, maybe they could use a bear, I guess.
I just thought of that when I said that, by the way. Like, oh yeah, it's not the kind of good sex trafficking, idiot. I'm doing stuff that other people do and enjoy quite a bit. I'm probably not gonna like that. So, but yeah, so that's not as bad as getting slammed on a piano that didn't break, that's for sure. That just looked ugly. That's why I texted you. I was like, I think Elias is dead. That sucks.
Oh man. Yeah, I
But
mean, hey, they can always bring back Ezekiel if they want to say that
it
he's
would
dead
be kind
after
of funny if they
that.
just swap characters out, like I don't know, however long it takes them to grow a beard, and just have Zeke come back and keep his hair in a ponytail so that he doesn't have to keep growing his hair back out. I have not given up on the Ezekiel Elias thing. It can still be done. But...
no.
Oh, well. So...
yeah, I suppose it could be. I don't have high hopes for it.
No, not on any hopes for it, unfortunately. But no, so it's like just it's stuff like that with WWE. And the crowd, they're still... they're doing a decent... introduction to characters and trying to get people to like give personalities or not. I'm not saying it always works, but at least they're doing a better job. But I don't think the crowd's really buying some of these people. Plus, you know, the 3 hours that is Raw, of course, doesn't help.
This definitely was not one of the stronger weeks of TV for the WWE. You know, Raw wasn't terrible, but it was just kind of okay. And they just really drug a lot of stuff out. Because, what? Oh, yeah, because that match was pretty long. The tag match was pretty long. Seth Rollins, Austin Theory was pretty long. Like, they definitely used a lot of time in ring this past Raw. To minimize what was going on.
Well, I want... did I miss the reason the Bloodline keeps attacking Raw?
No, I was still a little confused by the whole situation.
Okay.
Just, in some ways, they lost, so they're pissed off. I get that part of the angle.
Yeah, this week for sure, yeah.
Yeah. The first time, I suppose, you know, yeah, it's an act of dominance, and, you know, that's fine, too. But, yeah, it was still kind of, I guess, I was a little bit surprised that, yeah, it's Jay that's had the problem with Sammy the whole time. It seemed kind of interesting that this was what the tribal chief was asking for.
Yeah, I don't get it. I guess it's to redeem themselves, but they were never there to have matches anyways. That was Adam Pearce telling them they had to. So I don't know. It's just a weird thing to me.
Well, and I guess they did try to sell it as a redemption for everyone. It's fine, you know. I guess it's one way to make things interesting, but I feel like Roman Reigns is, regardless of what happened on Monday, there is probably going to be some interesting words between him and Sami Zayn. Because, Roman Reigns was in a match on the losing side for the first time since that Seth Rollins match.
God damn. Was that really even in other... yeah, because they won War Games.
Every tag team or six... I guess that most of them have been six-man matches since it's been him and the Usos. I feel like when he... because the Usos lose on their own more than they should. But him with the Usos are undefeated. And so, yeah, like... Roman Reigns has really lost very few times over the span, too. Very, very few times.
Yeah. It's funny because I know we just got done talking about that, but I'm trying to go back on Seth was really it. But yeah, it really was. Damn. Oh. Even like all the goofy stuff with Lesnar, there was no count outs or his qualifications or any of that stuff. Lesnar never got the one up on him, which is why when he came back, it was like, why? He beat you. But.
Yeah. Pretty much fair and square.
Yeah, actually, in that match, it really was, wasn't it? At WrestleMania.
Just because, I think those matches, they've had some, either limited or no stipulations, essentially. It's just like, well, okay, then you're just letting people attack you from the outside. Like, it's kind of hard to, like, blame the bad guy for taking advantage here.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, but you're right, though. With WWE, like, I watched most of NXT. I caught the end, you know, Grayson Waller getting his, the one thing, the weird stalker video, I was like, what is this? Ah.
They are delving into some weird, weird topics in NXT currently.
Yeah.
We got lawyers trying to buy fake land. We got stalkers. We got whatever Scripps is doing. We've got the Marion Cobretti justice of Dijak. We've got the Tony D old school Italian mob form of justice going on. Like, there is some wacky shit going on down in NXT currently. Mm-hmm.
And then you just have Carmelo and Apollo start the show as a wrestling match. The end. Like, wait, what? Okay.
I mean,
it's wrestling out of the way, and then the goofy shit start. Okay.
Yeah, well, and it really was back-to-back starting matches because I'll tell you what, I was starting to think that Trick Williams during the match with Carmelo and Apollo Crews dying. I was dying with his reactions on the outside.
I know we talk about Carmelo a lot, and Trick's probably not ready to go in the ring because they keep protecting him.
Yeah.
But man, he's completely different than Carmelo, by the way. But he kind of overshadows, but he doesn't. They each have their own thing to offer, and that's why I hope there's not a breakup for these two. Because it's kind of like New Day. I enjoy the fact New Day's not breaking up. They're friends that support each other. And
well, yeah, I think that kind of made this week's meeting with what are they called? It's the Schism.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you guys aren't a real family. I'm like, there has been no group in my lifetime that has stayed together a consecutive amount of time longer than New Day.
I would say the Von Erichs, but
let's not get into that one. I don't know if that lasted. What are they on, year 7 or something like that now?
Yeah, I have no idea.
I want to say it was either 2015 or 2016 that they started being a group, and it's just like it's been. Yeah, they're as close to an actual wrestling family. Other than real families like the Von Erichs, I suppose.
Von Erichs introduced a fake one. So
I was gonna say, did all of them live for more than 7 years after wrestling started? Or
just... You know, I know what you mean. God damn, I don't know the answer to that. I really don't. I don't like David and Chris. I don't think they wrestled 7 years. Carrie might have, maybe. And who was the other one? I hate saying it like this, but who's the other one? There another one that died too? Like, what a horrible story that many people died, and there's one don't remember their name.
I guess just because enough of it was as much. I guess I knew Kerry Von Erich. I don't feel like I remember his brothers wrestling a whole lot.
There was Chris, Mike. That was the other one. Chris, Mike, David, and Kerry. Those are the four that died.
Okay.
I started watching, and David had just died. And then, you know, Kerry beats Flair, and all this stuff goes on. And then they started doing, like, reruns. Like, oh, okay, I see Dave, whatever else. But then the other guys, they just weren't. I'm not speaking ill of the dead, but they just weren't worth it. That's harsh, but you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
They weren't up to snuff. They weren't on par with their brothers. So, but I mean, at the time, goddamn, Kerry's pumping himself full of shit too. So it's not really fair.
Oh my God. Yeah. They're saying the New Day debut was July 21, Wiki, July 21, 2014. Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that is legit. Like, as much as the Four Horsemen, I mean, I remember the Four Horsemen being around, but it was also a rotating door of people who were in there.
Oh, yeah, yes.
And I suppose there's probably some argument for the Bullet Club, but I'd also put them in the category of, hey, we've had rotating members. Like, New Day has been New Day. The whole time.
And that's it. And I guess you could say the honorary, was it Big K, whatever Owens was?
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
Yeah, and you can argue for the fourth one if you feel like it. I will allow that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, but the core three remain. But yeah. I mean,
so, yeah, I did think it was weird that that was the thing that Schism was trying to get between New Day. It's just like, huh? Like that?
Yeah.
Huh? Like, guys, they have been around longer than you guys have probably been in professional wrestling. I don't know if Joe Gacy's already wrestled 12 years or not.
Yeah, I don't know. But
somehow okay, wouldn't
so
surprise
me. We were talking
me.
About this on text, and you know me, I'm a big aesthetics person. Did you understand what I was saying about his outfit?
Oh, yeah, and I think we've talked about it on the show.
Okay.
The trunks don't make any sense for him. It doesn't make sense for his character. It doesn't really work for his body type.
Not at all. Well, it really doesn't, because even the other members are wearing almost like wrestling gear. It's like, no.
Like, oh, what? Why did I think that they were the ones that had pants on?
I'm trying to remember now. Because they usually have the white pants, you know, like the black shirts or whatever, or vice versa. But that, I mean, that's what they should be, and he should still be in his old gear.
Oh,
like he's the David Koresh or the Jim Jones or I don't know.
Fit in cult leaders here.
Yeah. So that's who he should be. And he should present himself as that, not we're all here for inclusion and family. Now I'm going to wrestle. Like, no. I'm using wrestling as a platform to hurt people, you know? So I just wear my stuff I wear on the pulpit, so to speak.
Yeah.
And attack people, which makes it even more hypocritical, actually. Which is good.
Yeah, I mean, the angle that they're taking with him still works for the most part. They have kind of modified the smarminess to a degree. I think they brought it back with this whole four roots, one tree shenanigans.
Yeah,
I don't like it as much as the old stuff, but...
No, I mean, it's like they modify everything. So, but yeah, it... The whole thing still doesn't work for me. And him and Kofi, it was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like, okay. But yeah, you're right, though. Like, people trying to get in between the New Day, it's like, oh, my God. He's won a championship he never has. He's like, yeah. I'm happy for my friend. I know this is wrestling, and I'm not supposed to, but I am. So.
Yeah.
NXT is like, that's all I really remember from NXT.
Well, you were talking about being an aesthetics mogul. So that was one of the main questions that I had about AEW this week. What did you think about the new aesthetics of Dynamite?
I barely paid attention to it. I was just like, oh, okay, they're on stage still. Like, I'd have to give it a better glance. But a lot of people were saying it seemed like WWE. And I was like, well, I mean, it's not a terrible thing to do, I guess. But
it definitely seemed like there was more lighting. Like, because I do feel like someone, I saw that mentioned, before I ever watched the product, since I watched it, you know, a good 12 hours after it aired. So I did kind of, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, the crowds had not been very well lit previously. I do think that the crowds were lit a little bit better.
That, okay, that was noticeable, but I also think part of that had to do with the fact that they had a big ass crowd, so they didn't have to cover stuff up.
That helps.
As they said, there were 8,000 or something.
Oh,
So.
but I did feel like it felt like the ring was lit better too.
I'm gonna have to go. I'm gonna have to go back and watch. Or
Yeah,
just watch Rampage.
the only other thing that I really noticed was the whole desk situation with the announcers.
Yes, it actually looked like a stage
Yeah.
instead of them just sitting at a table.
Yeah. I kind of like that because, yeah, it did always seem like they were just kind of off to the side. It feels like they have their own little area now.
And if they would just excise one of the announcers and just have a two-man booth, that'd be great. But
They worked better this week together than they have in a while.
it just, I mean, Tony Schiavone's still not necessary. Let him do his in-ring stuff. Let him do the behind-the-scenes stuff. Well, I guess Renee Paquette's doing that, but
Still, I mean, like you said, how many did he have? Still had two sit down. He at least had the Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter sit down. And I feel like he had another sit down during the night. And it's just like, okay, yeah, just let him do that. He doesn't need to announce. Just let it be Excalibur and Taz out there.
And I was surprised, like, why isn't Jim Ross doing the sit downs? Like, they've really only put him on Rampage now.
I don't know. But I guess I like Shivani better in the sit downs than JR. Just from
I like
a straight
Shivani when he's
opinion wise.
trying. When he's actually into what he's doing and knows what he's doing. Because there are other times where he's just talking. It's like he's experienced everything for the first time. Which is bad because he's part of creative. So, I guess maybe some of it's wonder. Oh, what I came up with is working or being utilized. Oh, look what I did. I don't know, but it. I firmly believe in two-man booths. So,
Yeah.
but I'll have to go back and give AEW a better
Well,
look because I actually really like the I actually really like the show this week.
I was just going to say that I felt like that was hyped up a little bit more than the way it came out. I didn't mind it, you know, like they needed, cool, you made improvements, like, but it didn't even seem like when, you know, I guess when back in the day when we were like, oh, we're completely overhauling Raw's set. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, it was almost always the same setup in a lot of ways where it's big video board in the middle, ramp, ring. You know, there's only so much you can do, but at least I felt like design-wise, they always change things up a little bit more than what just happened with AEW. I 'cause it like you said, like it didn't visually like okay, great, better lighting needed. Not arguing, but I didn't see like a major aesthetic change to me.
And that's fine. Like
Oh. Yeah.
now when WWE changes something, Jesus God, they change something. To the point where I'm like, that set's way too big. Can we shrink that shit down? Like you that stage is not or stage setup is not one I would expect for a TV show. That thing's I mean it's enormous and it's pretty immaculate. Like you see stuff go on, I'm like, oh boy.
Well, yeah, I guess I hadn't paid attention to how big their stage is.
That thing covers up the lower half of an arena. the back end. Before it was straight, right? That thing's curved.
Oh, yeah, it does take up a little more room, I guess. Yeah, it used to be more of a rectangle and less of a, yeah, I don't know what you really call that shape with an arc at the top of it.
Yeah, there you go.
A box with the arc at the don't have any fan.
But no, AEW show I thought was good. They did get me with the tag team match.
Oh.
Because I was about to text you, these dumb motherfuckers. And then as soon as I saw like the referee stand in the background, I'm like, oh, wait a second. I'm like, oh, they got me so good.
Yeah, I did not notice Aubrey Edwards standing behind her. I'm glad that for one whole match, the AEW referees could look competent just for their own sake.
Okay, so I had this thought, and I know that this is wrestling, so it would never happen. Wouldn't it be nice if the referees were absolutely and utterly competent? So
Oh.
when something like that did happen, and there was a mistake in officiating, it would actually be a story. You know?
Oh.
How did this referee not get this right? Almost like a real sport.
Yeah, I mean, they've occasionally tried to do those storylines. It falls flat for me.
Well, of course it does, because they pick out one or two. Like, they tried an AEW. We're going to make sure we tighten that. Paul Turner, the head of the officials, is going to tighten up. Like,
Oh my God, I
shut the
forgot about
fuck
that.
up. All right, so this guy's gonna tighten it up, but the match before, you can hit somebody with a chair, and the referee goes, "Hey, don't do that anymore." What? Or and I, have I talked about the action before the bell?
Oh.
Have we talked about this?
Yeah, even in one of the good to great matches this week, action before the bell was a primary thing happening.
Now we're talking about Darby and Joe, right?
Yeah.
And I think it was Excalibur that said, "Well, the bell hasn't rung, so this is a good strategy or something."
Yep.
And Tony Schiavone did that a few weeks ago. I just what?
Yeah, it's one of the reasons that I'm not surprised that the AEW crowd cheers for heels because they say shit like that all the time and no one disagrees with it. It's so strange that no one does that. You know, like they don't have a counterbalance.
It's just I'm not even stuck on that. I want this to be sports related, like more of a sport, right? I want it to make goddamn sense. That's all I ask for. If you're wrestling and you put somebody through a table, disqualify them. And honestly, smacking someone's head into the ring post, that should be a DQ as well. Hitting their face on the table, that should be a DQ.
Yeah, they have really widened the legal tactics, even within a match, these days that were I mean, I'm never going to be for disqualification over the top rope.
Oh God, I always hated that.
But and with that being said, yeah, they definitely have bent rules here with yeah, post shots. I mean, I even feel like because what did Samoa Joe hit that ring spike to lose the match or the corn buckle turner corner?
Yes, he ran into the corn buckle.
Oh, Jesus.
Fucking corn buckle. Oh my God, that's awesome. You hit your head and it pops. Like I'm sorry,
it's like a kernel.
Pops. It's like, was it a Jiffy Pop?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great. But yeah, but okay, so in that case, okay. Joe took it off, right?
Yeah, Joe took it off.
All right. So, in a way, I can kind of see allowing that. Like, the referee goes to put it back on like he's supposed to.
Oh.
Or, if Darby throws Joe into it, the referee goes, your own fault, buddy. But if he does that to Darby, then yes, DQ. Like, it... And I know it's, like, very stringent, but goddamn, you have to have some order.
Oh.
Just a little bit of order. That's all. And this isn't even a little bit.
No. As much as I did like their show this week, that is just an enduring problem of their product, where the referees are outside of that correction because there were extra referees down at ringside. Because what did – I mean, Aubrey Edwards missed something in one of her matches. Did someone get kicked in the groin during one of her matches because she was dealing with someone else?
Yeah, wasn't it? It was Jericho and Ricky Starks.
Yep.
Because she always does Jericho's matches. So.
Yeah, it's just like, come on, guys. Like, right out the gate, they have an incompetent ref on the show.
Well, I mean, really, and it's wrestling as well, but there's incompetence as part of wrestling now. So Jericho has all the Jericho appreciation people. And then you wait until they either interfere or you think they interfere to throw them out. Just as soon as they get down, they go, get out.
Uh-oh.
And I know it was like a subtle thing. But he, like Bobby Heenan, Slick, James J. Dillon, Jim Cornette, they all talked about manager license. And yes, it's antiquated. I get that. But at least they tried to make sense of why they're down there. Why they're allowed down there. And I know in like New Japan, they can have a whole gaggle of people down there if they want. Well, they don't interfere the way they do in the States, so it actually is okay there. It's just stupid.
Well, and I do think that they were more restrained back in the day. Obviously, Bobby Heenan got chased around the ring and occasionally got, you know, involved in a match. But he didn't usually help his client win.
Who is this?
Bobby Heenan. Did he interfere?
Well, he would interfere by, like, you know, pull a leg or distraction, which you can blame on the wrestler. Jimmy Hart would always throw the megaphone in.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess they have always kind of helped people cheat, huh?
Yeah, because Freddie Blassie had the cane.
Yeah.
Slick had the cane. Mr. Fuji the salt.
Yep.
James J. Dillon, he was just there. Cornette, obviously the tennis racket.
What?
Paul Jones would have the loaded paper. What other managers am I missing? Like famous ones.
Paul Ellering?
Yeah, did I say Paul Jones? Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Paul Ellering. When they were bad guys.
Yeah.
He used that. I mean, I'm sure I'm missing some others, but yeah, there's always a reason they had a thing. Which, of course, you can say, well, they should be banned too, which would be hard to disagree with. But
I guess I feel like they were more subtle, and maybe they weren't as subtle as I think.
I think you'd be surprised. I think as a kid, you're like, ugh, are they going to do this? But it's also like they were breaking the rules where now you pull a leg and they go, hey, you stop doing that. Like,
oh.
And then they do it again. All right, you're out of here. Like, and I say this every time, I don't understand how they get the crowd reaction still.
Oh.
Like.
Especially there when it happens
every damn time it gets a pop.
At least every other match. I don't know how the you're out of here gets a pop. It's just like, huh? Yeah.
And like the like, referees do the same moves. They wind the arms up and point to the back.
Yeah.
And all right, so one thing I did find funny was, I don't know if he didn't know what to do or if he was like, to hell with this. That Satnam Singh guy, he gets tossed. Oh. He's just standing halfway up the ramp. And I guess it, you know, it plays into the end of the match, but it was still funny. He's like, nah. I'm just going to argue with these guys out here from a distance, from the ring. So.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were amused by him and his giant fingers. They love the...
nothing amusing about those guys.
Oh, my God.
Nothing.
Yeah, I likewise, I almost texted you when I saw that win. I'm just like, but the fact that they're getting a second match out of this, I'm just like, motherfucker. Still too much Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett for my choice, for my liking. Just okay. Entirely too much.
So, I don't know, did you and Chris talk about the whole kerfluffle with Max Caster's their video and like Karen Jarrett getting mad, apparently legitimately get mad, and then Jeff Jarrett was upset about it. And Jeff Jarrett is such a con, like in a good way. I don't really know if this is fake or not, but even Taz said, yeah, there was like some legitimate hurt feelings or whatever backstage over it.
Yeah, I guess I just figured it was all a work. I did not realize that at least supposedly she had put out that she was actually offended by the...
She went on a whole tirade talking about how she was going to talk about all of Kurt's cheating, infidelities, and possible abuse and stuff. She's tired of being a victim of being quiet for all these years. Like, what? So, and this is just, it's common knowledge, but you're going to tell me that your pillhead, at the time, pillhead husband, wasn't exactly the greatest person?
Yeah.
Wow, what a shock.
I am shocked and surprised. I have heard all the Kurt Angle stories about how pilled out he was.
I mean, all the times he got arrested and shit?
Yeah, but I had no idea he was a bad guy to his wife.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I didn't really, like, wow.
I hope it's just part of the story. But when she started bringing up Kurt Angle, it's like, whoa, wait. Like, is this for real?
Yeah, when you start talking about dredging up charges, I'm like, this is, you've gone a little too far here, guys.
And it actually goes to, like, Caster's, like, the raps he comes up with. Or lyrics he comes up with on the way to the ring. He's saying, he said something about Jeff Jarrett and going down faster or burning up, like something about somebody else in the news. And every time the crowd's like, oh, I'm like, I mean, it wasn't that good.
They like the Andrew Tate burn this week.
It. Yeah. And it's like, all right. And then, like, Jarrett's, you know, the only global force is the Acclaimed, and the only global force is TNA stands for whatever, the Acclaim or something. And I'm like, okay. And the crowd, oh! So I'm guessing, is that like just one of those 1-2 and everyone yells 2 things? Like, they're not really that into it. They just know when the cue is, so they want to participate. So I'm guessing that's what that is.
Yeah. I mean, they really have a good hardcore audience with AEW.
Yes, who are very knowledgeable of the product.
Yeah.
Well,
sometimes I question if they're knowledgeable about the product.
Well,
but,
I know you're going to bring up like the Jericho stuff. I'm with you. Like,
oh, no, I wasn't even going to bring up the Jericho stuff. And what happened with...
Well, no, how like he's a bad guy, but everyone cheers for him still?
Oh, well, I mean...
So, but yeah.
This
is a song, I should say. But
oh yeah, they definitely do that.
But yeah, I enjoyed this week quite a bit. Nothing was boring. There was some exciting stuff. I didn't want Darby to win though. Joe's such a badass with both belts. The way he talks, conducts himself, that it just it didn't seem like it was the time for Darby to win. And I know it was his hometown, and that's why as soon as they said it was his hometown, I'm like, oh, he's winning. But I wouldn't mind if he would have lost to Joe and then had to build back up and go at it again. And those guys can do a pay-per-view match where they can really go at it because those two have a chemistry because Darby doesn't care. And that's why I love watching him for as long as I'm going to be able to, which doesn't seem like to be that long. So
that man is willing to throw his body around to do whatever. And it is commendable on that front. But yeah, they do have, I mean, they've had two really good matches. I've enjoyed both of them. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of, like, was there a bad Darby Allin match? I mean, I'm guessing maybe, and it wasn't a bad match, but maybe him and Ethan Page? Because it kind of went all over the place?
No, never mind.
No, that was good. I was thinking of something totally different. Never mind. That was good, too.
Uh-oh.
But, no, I was thinking when they threw him down the stairs. I was like, oh, that wasn't a match. Never mind.
Oh, no. That was just a cheesy segment.
Yeah.
So.
But, no, I mean, Darby doesn't have bad matches.
No. And they do always mention it. You really legitimately can tell that he wrestled in high school.
How so?
Well, you always think he does a lot of flying around, but he does a lot of things where he really even when he's doing, I don't want to say a reverse chin lock, but the guy does some mat wrestling and he looks believable doing it. And because he's smaller and can work under people, he does a good job of using his leverage in those situations. And I think that it shows that he was, I don't want to say athlete because it's just like, well, he was a skateboarder. Like, how would you not think that he was an athlete? But yeah,
well, an easy answer is most people don't think skateboarders are athletes. They think they're just people who ride on a board. They don't understand everything else that goes into it.
Yeah, the amount of balance and core work that goes into that is just impressive to start with.
Well, and then, like, the gymnastics part, I mean, you're jumping in the air on that thing. Like, depending if you're doing, like, a half pipe, whatever.
Yeah.
That takes all the concentration, body strength, control, all that stuff. So, yeah. But no, most people just see a skateboard like, oh, fucking skateboarders. Okay. But no, I'm happy that we'll see Darby on TV more. Oh. I guess him and Mike Bennett fight on Rampage this week. Or Battle of the Belts, too. One of the, whatever. Battle of the Belts.
I'm with you. I thought it was weird timing for Joe to lose it. Especially, like, it's another one of those ones that's just like, I mean, I guess I know he beat Wardlow. They left it in such a weird spot, though, where it seemed like Wardlow should get a rematch. It was just like, oh, why did he drop one of the championships to Darby? Like you said, hometown, I kind of get it, but...
I guess because he's going to be in Ring of Honor, so they have dropped the AEW title.
Oh.
That's my thinking, at least. So, because remember, Ring of Honor is going to have their own TV, and he said that they're going to try and, like, you know, these guys are going to be Ring of Honor, these guys will be AEW. And obviously, it'll be some crossover. But, so I don't mind. Now, the one thing I will say, and it was my own fault, because I've seen Killshot and, what was AR Fox's name? Anyways, I saw them fight in Lucha Underground, and the matches were awesome. I saw them live here in Concord. Yes, I'm talking about it again. That match was awesome. So when they said they were putting AR Fox and Shane Strickland, or Swerve Strickland, excuse me, on TV, I was like, hell yes. And then Swerve just basically murdered him. And I was like, what? And then it occurred to me, hey, dummy, A.R. Fox isn't a name. Like,
oh,
he hasn't been built up at all for AEW. He hasn't been built up at all. So, of course, they're not going to have a great match because there's nothing behind it. They're feuding in Lucha Underground. They're feuding in Evolve. So...
Yeah, I mean, the announcers actually did do a good job of bringing up those points about where those two had feuded. It helps give the match itself a story, but because, like you said, like AR Fox has been around for 3 weeks or something like that, it's just like, how can I be that wound up about a guy that just got onto your roster? Oh, although, as much as I love Swerve, I'm not sure how much I'm fired up about Swerve.
I'd rather him just be on his own. Like, that's one thing AEW is doing way too much of, and they have from the beginning. Everybody's got somebody, and it's just kind of nice to have someone with nobody. MJF is the only one, right? Everybody else has an entourage or friends or partners.
But even with MJF, he's had the occasional business partners or, you know, this, that, or the other thing along the way. Like, hey, for the most part, he has been an entity unto himself.
Yeah.
But,
after
yeah.
The Pinnacle, yeah. He got rid of Wade Wardlow to start, and then the Pinnacle, and then by himself. So, but, I mean, I guess it's a good way to get people on TV, but at the same time, you don't need that many people. Period. Even the women have other, like, allegiances. Which is very strange, because that's usually,
you know, oh,
there's not enough women to have that sort of situation. So,
and that's a weird one that was coming up this week that... still strikes me as strange. The whole thing surrounding Jade Cargill is just
whatever.
It's such a head scratcher. Like, I'm like, I don't.
Yeah.
You know, I understood at first if you didn't think that she was ready for the big time. It's been a year. I feel like I've seen improvement. It's kind of hard to tell because she's not exactly being given the best to wrestle. Because there's still just like everyone that is quote unquote good or more experienced is just off in their own actual championship bubble that does not involve Jade Cargill at all.
Yeah, I mean, they've done a very good job of keeping them separate.
I that's one way you could word it, I suppose.
The whole, her, like, Red Velvet not agreeing, walking out on her.
Oh, yeah, because she was friends with Kiera Hogan, and it's just like,
And she ruins the two women after, and then now Kiera Hogan gets a title shot against Jade Cargill. I'm like, why? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this is where we're at just to get Jade Cargill matches, which, again, to me, just deepens the mystery of what exactly is going on there.
Yeah.
Like, you seem to like her as a featured act. You know, everyone can talk up the women's division as much as they want to. But... yeah, it's still secondary to the WWE's.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a defense, it's just the truth. It's gotten better.
Yeah.
And now, you know, but it'd be nice to have, it's nice to have two different women's feuds on a card, on a show. Because it was always like, all right, one woman's feud on Dynamite, one on Rampage. That's it. So,
yeah, again, I don't want to discount the improvements they've made, but it's still just like, ladies, I'm just not buying that you're the best division in wrestling. Like, thanks for trying. I got it, but no. That is not for sale, ladies.
But yeah, so that was my only disappointment. And I know we didn't talk too much about Wrestle Kingdom, but oh well. I didn't see it anyways. I know the results. And then but
Yeah, I mean, there was just I suppose since Chris and I didn't get to talk about it, what is it? Oh, Mercedes Moné.
no, Mercedes Money. So it sounds like money. I learned that today myself. Okay, so cool. The former Sasha Banks is in New Japan. Can we please talk about her hair?
Oh, yes.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm like, how do you do that?
Exactly. That was crazy cool. Now, I don't know if it's permanent or if that was just like, airbrushed on, maybe. I don't care. That
Yeah.
looked awesome. And as someone who cannot do that, I admire it even more. So, yeah. So that was crazy cool. Just crazy cool. And that's all I really got out of that segment. I don't.
Yeah.
Japanese audiences are so weird. And the way you, like, if as a, as a gaijin coming in, you've got to change how you talk and all this. She was talking so slow. It's like this is she came off as robotic. Like just talk. They got people that'll translate. But other than that, yeah, it's good for her. She's wanted to go to Japan for a long time anyways, but then her first match is back in the States.
Yeah, I did kind of have to chuckle about that. Oh, see me February 18th in San Jose, huh? Okay. Yeah, it's not going to get me to buy New Japan. If that's a dream of hers, have at it. It's not changing my life at all. One way or the other. It's
No, I
weird that
mean,
she's not back in the WWE, but if you really need to scratch that itch that much, go for it.
oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not going to pretend I was a giant Sasha Banks fan because I wasn't. But I do understand the value she brings, and I understand the value she's going to bring to New Japan too. So,
Oh,
be pretty
yeah.
cool.
And I guess that's the only other thing. I suppose at least on AEW, we did Saraya did squash the old Sasha slash Mercedes Monet is not going to be her tag team partner next week. So,
So supposedly, who knows?
oh, you think that that can still change?
According to like Dave Meltzer, and that she was telling everyone she wasn't going to Japan. Well, there she was, and now she's saying that she's not going to AEW. I still say it's a possibility, but
Oh, okay. I thought that seemed like a
it did.
not very well kept secret that she was going over to New Japan.
Apparently, in her circle, it was. Or the people that didn't
That
need to know.
talked to her thought that it was under wraps. Well, they are not good at their jobs.
Oh, you surround people with people who just say yes. That's all you do. So.
Okie dokie. Well, time to get out of here.
Yes, beat it.
Any bell time beer on your end this week, sir?
No, I just did water today.
On my end, Heart State Brewing, one of the somewhat newer breweries that also works in conjunction with a handful of other breweries, is kind of a conglomerate around the area. I was having their double German chocolate cake sweet milk stout. 11.5% alcohol, so it is pretty heavy duty and not just a milk stout. That would be an imperial milk stout, guys, throwing it out there. And maybe put that on the label. A little too sweet for my liking. Yeah. There's a sweet boundary, and I don't know exactly where I draw it. This one's a little OTT. Yeah, pretty solid brewery in general. Not a giant fan of this one in particular. So it's always weird to insult a beer and then say it's the belt time beer of the show. So,
well, I mean that's what you were drinking. So.
Yep. So, yeah, check them out. I mean, like I said, they're good enough. So if you happen to be in Columbus and you want to, they have a nice little venue for themselves. So go check them out and have a couple of beverages. That is a choice from @DeFrango 11. He is @GrannyMaze. The brand is @StuntGranny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Stitcher. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.